Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, The Manus, Administrators of the Universe, Text Number 11. Yam Pashati Na Pashantam Chakshur Yasyana Rishiti Tambuta Nilayam Devam Suparna Upa Davata Yam Hihu Pashiti. The living entity sees. Na Not Pashantam. Although always seeing. Chakshu I. Yasya, whose, na, never, rishati, diminishes, tam, him, buddha nilayam, the original source of all living entities, devam, the supreme personality of Godhead, suparnam, who accompanies the living entity as a friend. Upadavata. Everyone should worship. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees Him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see. For his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the super soul who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. Purport. Offering prayers to Krishna, Srimati Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, said, Avaksham Sarvabhutanam Antarabhihir Avashtitam. Krishna, you reside both inside and outside of everything, yet the unintelligent conditioned souls cannot see you. And Bhagavad Gita is said that one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through Jnana Chakshusha, eyes of knowledge. He who opens these eyes of knowledge is called a spiritual master. Thus we offer our prayers to the spiritual master with the following sloka. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakso Umilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. I offer respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who with the torchlight of knowledge has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. Gautamya Tantra. The Guru's task is to open the disciples' eyes of knowledge. When the disciple is awakened from ignorance to knowledge, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere because the Lord actually is everywhere. Antarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. The Lord resides within this universe. He resides within the hearts of all living entities, and he resides even within the atom. Because we lack perfect knowledge, we cannot see God. But a little deliberation can help us to see God everywhere. This requires training. With a little deliberation, even the most degraded person can perceive the presence of God. If we take into account whose property is the vast ocean, whose property is the vast land, how the sky exists, how the numberless millions of stars and planets are set in the sky, who has made this universe, and whose property it is, we should certainly come to the conclusion that there is a proprietor of everything. When we claim proprietorship over a certain piece of land, whether individually or for our families or nations, we should also consider how we became the proprietors. The land was there before our birth, before we came to the land. How did it become our property? Such deliberation will help us understand that there is a supreme proprietor of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Godhead is always awake. In the conditioned stage, we forget things because we change our bodies. But because the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not change his body, he remembers past, present, and future. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.1, Imam Bhishvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam. I spoke the science of God, Bhagavad Gita, to the sun god at least 40 million years ago. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna how he could remember incidents that had happened, had taken place so long ago, the Lord answered that Arjuna was also present at that time, because Arjuna is Krishna's friend. Wherever Krishna goes, Arjuna goes. But the difference is that Krishna remembers everything, whereas a living entity like Arjuna, being a minute particle of the Supreme Lord, forgets. Therefore it is said, the Lord's vigilance is never diminished. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.15. Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishto matak smritir jnanam apavanam cha. Supreme Personality of Godhead in his paramatma feature is always present within the hearts of all living entities, and from him come memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. This is also indicated in this verse by the word suparanam, which means friend. In the Svaita Svatara Upanishad 4.6, it is said, Dva Suparna Suyuja Sakaya Samanam Riksham Pari Shas Vajate. Two birds are sitting on the same tree as friends. One bird is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other is simply observing. This observing bird is always present as a friend to the eating bird and giving him remembrance of things he wanted to do. Thus, if we take into account the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our daily affairs, we can see him, or at least perceive his presence everywhere. The word chakshur yasya narishyati means that although we cannot see him, this does not mean that he cannot see us. Nor does he die when the cosmic manifestation is annihilated. The example is given in this connection that the sunshine is present when the sun is present, but when the sun is not present, or when we cannot see the sun, that does not mean that the sun is lost. The sun is there, but we cannot see it. Similarly, although we cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our present darkness or lack of knowledge, he is always present, seeing our activities as Paramatma. He is a witness and advisor, Upadrashta and Anumanta. Therefore, by following the instructions of the spiritual master and studying authorized literatures, one can understand that God is present before us, seeing everything, although we have no eyes with which to see him. The verse again, Yam Pashyati Na Pashyantam Chakshuryasya Na Rishyati Tambuta Nilayam Devam Suparnam Upadavata. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see, for his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the Super Soul, who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. Two points are made in this purport and in the verse. One is that Krishna is always awake, and the other is that Krishna is always guiding the soul in all circumstances. Krishna is always awake, and he's always the Supreme Soul guiding everyone. But because the living entities are changing their bodies, the living entities forget, while Krishna doesn't forget, and therefore he reminds the souls. In that regard, we can look at the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it explains that this material world is just a combination and permutation of natural elements, namely, Bhumir Apanalo Vayu Kamanu Buddhavacha, Ahankara Itiyame Bina Prakriti Ashtida, namely, earth, which is solid matter, water, fire, air, and ether. These are energies that are manifested within the material world, transformations of the spiritual energy known as Brahman. And therefore, although they're temporary, still they give us some idea of what the spiritual world is like, although they're a reflection of the actual world. Now, all our bodies and everything we see are just simply combinations and permutations of natural energy. But we never find that any combination of any material energies produces life. Or as Prabhupada writes in that purport, trust no future, however pleasant, idle talks concerning the future generation of the souls or spirit for matter is just so much idle talk. Because there's a difference between consciousness, the conscious living entity, and the unconscious material energy that we're conscious of. But in order to understand this, then we have to understand that someone is supplying us intelligence to understand this. That whoever is supplying us intelligence personally is also supplying intelligence to everyone. It's not that only I have intelligence and everyone else has something different. So all of the entities, even the other species of life, they all have intelligence being supplied to them, just like the father speaks to his son or the teacher speaks to his student. So that all-pervading intelligence is known as the super soul. Now, our free will consists of whether we accept that or we reject it. Either we accept that we're actually spiritual beings being guided by the super soul, or reject that and think we're made out of material nature and we become guided by the impulses arising from our senses and mind. So that's our free will. Either we accept being Krishna's servant and try the best we can to serve him, or we take ourselves to be the servant of our senses and our material desires and struggle to serve them. That's our free will. But an intelligent person can see three things. He can see the soul. After all, we are the soul. If we don't see ourselves, that's very unfortunate. Even Hiranyakashipu, the biggest demon that ever existed, physically and mentally, he understood that he wasn't his body. If we can't even come up to the level of the demons, we're in difficulty. So anyone with half a brain, or a quarter of a brain, or some brain, can understand that this body is changing, but we're not changing. Therefore, one should be able to understand that I am a spiritual being, I'm conscious, and that this microphone, sorry. Didn't mean to hurt you. The microphone is unconscious. I can't hurt the microphone. I can hurt someone who's attached to the microphone, but I can't hurt the microphone, although it makes a sound. Oh, see? You heard it. Because it's unconscious, and yet I'm conscious. When the soul leaves the body, you can take the dead body, you can hit it with a stick, it's not going to complain. Because there's no longer a soul. So we're the conscious soul, and we can act independently, especially in this world, because we're always receiving knowledge. Someone is always speaking to us, telling us what's going on. Speaking to all living entities, not just once ourselves personally, but to every living entity, that Supreme Soul is giving them knowledge and remembrance. And forgetfulness. Now, for the devotee who's sincere, Krishna helps them because they're trying to see Krishna. So Krishna helps them by giving them remembrance about himself. And they're trying to forget their illusion. So Krishna takes away their forgetfulness. He helps them forget their illusory understanding of things. And he gives them direct experience of himself and how everything and everyone is related to him. But for the non-devotee, Krishna does exactly the opposite. Krishna helps the non-devotee forget everything about him. And he helps them remember everything except for him. And he gives them so much information that they can believe any crazy thing. They can believe that actually they're changing, but the body's always the same, or whatever combination of foolishness that people may believe. Because people have come here to be cheated, that's one of the four qualities of a conditioned soul, defects of a conditioned soul, imperfect senses. We don't actually see how things are going on. We make mistakes. Coming to the material world was our first mistake, and everything we did after that was simply compounding the mistake. And we have a tendency to be cheating. We claim that we're the proprietors. We claim that they were enjoyers. We claim that they were the saviors. This is all different phases of cheating. And we're an illusion. We actually believe the illusory perceptions that we have. We believe our imperfect senses. We believe we never commit mistakes. We believe that we never cheat. Everything we do is perfect because we're the supreme. And we believe that we're never an illusion. We actually see everything properly, and everyone else is an illusion because they don't see us as the supreme. That we take as a basic principle of existence, that I'm the supreme, and anyone who sees me as the supreme has actually freed themselves from illusion. And everyone thinks the same way. So because of that, that's what a conditioned soul is. And it's very hard for the conditioned soul to understand what's to be done and what's not to be done because they can't remember anything. They don't see they've done the same thing over and over again, punat punas charvata charvananam, and they've gotten the same result. It is said that to do the same thing over and over and over again and get the same result and then expect something different the next time, that's called madness, moha. So every living entity, because he's bound by lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness, therefore he's able to stay in the material world thinking, this time it's going to be different. This time it's going to be better than the last time. Therefore Krishna helps such conditioned souls by giving them forgetfulness. That's one of the stages. After illusion comes forgetfulness. And when we forget, we have no intelligence. We lose our intelligence because we can't look around and see things properly. We can't remember what we're seeing, actually. Therefore, we see things more and more into the modes of ignorance. Real remembrance is to remember how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. How we're not this body, how the super soul is eternally guiding us, how the planets are moving their orbits exactly on time. How to see these things, see that we're eternal, there's a supreme person, and there's a supreme controller, and that he's supplying us with our needs of life. He's not a mean person. He's giving us sunlight. He's giving us water. He's giving us air. He's giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. He's trying to help us. But we're rejecting his help and instead taking help from illusion. Now, it's important to know that Krishna doesn't sleep like we do. He doesn't go to sleep, and he forgets that he's Krishna. And then the whole world goes upside down, as one rabbi said, his rabbi whose name is Krishna. He said, actually, the reason why bad things happen to good people is that God's a nice person, but he's become senile because he's so old. Alzheimer's disease or something like that. And therefore he can't remember things anymore. So he doesn't know who's good and who's bad. He doesn't really discriminate so well anymore. So sometimes he awards good things to bad people, and sometimes he forgets to do good things to good people. Because they think God is imperfect. And then maybe if we can get to the spiritual world, wherever he is, we can give him our latest drug and get the guy, old man, back into shape again. But actually, Krishna is always awake. Otherwise, how are all these unlimited living entities being directed? How is the sun, which we understand is a sun god, it's not just a ball of fire, there's a sun god directing it, and Krishna says, it's chakshesha savitasa kala grahanam rajasamasa suramurte sheshateja yasyagaya brahmati sambrita kala chakra Govindam Adi Purusham Tamang Bhajami. That Krishna is in the heart of the sun, God. That's why we have Om Bhur Bhava Swa, the Gayatri Mantra. And he's directing the sun god. He's not only giving us direction, so we know where Prashadam is. The worst thing in the world, our worst nightmare, is we wake up, we can't figure out where the Prashadam is. We don't care where the temple is. It's Prashadam. We forget everything else, but if we know where to eat, that's all right. Then life is all right. But the same person who's giving us intelligence how to find the Prashadam place is also giving us intelligence, also giving intelligence to the sun god to move in the universe and provide all the inhabitants of the universe with heat and light. And he does it every day. It's not that the sun god had a bad night last night, got in a fight with one of his wives, couldn't go to sleep, so he woke up late. All the universe is waiting. Wait a second. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Where's the sun? Wake the guy up. It's cold. No, every day the sun rises up. So the sun doesn't sleep. We know that the sun doesn't go to sleep because we can call someone up on the other side of the planet and they'll say, the sun's here, it arrived. It didn't fall asleep, fell into the ocean, got extinguished. Next morning, it tried to light itself up again. Pour the gasoline on, you know. Got to heat up the universe. No, the sun never sleeps. So the sun god never sleeps, and the person inside the sun god's heart who's directing him never sleeps either. So, the question is, again, what kind of remembrance we want? So we don't know, because our minds are flooded with all kinds of remembrances from the past. So the question is, how do we get remembrance of something positive? Then that's why these books are there. Krishna Surya Sama, oh, is that? Krishna Sudharma Upagate, Dharma Gyana Dibisaha, Kalo Nashta Drishame Sha, Puranarko Tumoditaha. Now that knowledge and religion have left the planet when Krishna left, where are we going to get shelter? So this Bhagavatam has arisen just like the sun. And those who take shelter of it will get relief from Kali Yuga. So therefore, Śrīla Vyāsadeva and of his causeless mercy, seeing the very unfortunate situation of ourselves in Kali Yuga, has compiled the Bhagavatam. What's the first word of that? Anartho pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga dan hokshade lokasya janato vidvam chakre samita samvita. So he so kindly, seeing that we're full of unwanted thoughts, unwanted habits, he's given us the Bhagavatam in Kali Yuga. So that we can, when we see through the eyes of Bhagavatam, we're actually seeing through Krishna's eyes. And when we see through Krishna's eyes, then Krishna in our heart is telling us what's to be done, what's not to be done, how to become Krishna conscious, how to see things in Krishna consciousness, how to understand things in Krishna consciousness, how to do things in Krishna consciousness, so that we become eligible to get Krishna's mercy. Krishna is not just going around with a magic wand and just poking people on the head with a magic wand indiscriminately. He's giving his mercy to those who deserve it. So if we want to deserve the mercy, part of that is developing spiritual vision. Understand that we're always with Krishna. We can't hide from him. It's not that we turn the lights off, put the shades down, and Krishna is never not there anymore. Take all the pictures away, and now we're free to do whatever we want. And that we're always 100% eternally dependent upon Krishna. It wasn't that now we're dependent on Krishna, or maybe in the future we might be dependent upon Krishna. Eternally, we've always been dependent upon Krishna. And we're here in the material world, it's because we decided not to depend upon Krishna. We've decided to depend on illusion. But we can also learn how to depend upon Krishna again, and therefore come back to our natural state of eternally blissful, fully conscious of how wonderful everything actually is, how wonderful everyone is in relationship to Krishna. If we think things aren't wonderful, if we think people are not wonderful, it's because our consciousness is not proper. So, in order to make things wonderful, we don't have to change everything around, we just have to change our consciousness, and then we'll actually see how wonderful actually is, at least in relationship to Krishna, and his wonderful plan to bring everyone back to the spiritual world. It's not that everyone is a soul, therefore they're equally wonderful, but not everyone is equally wonderfully developed in Krishna consciousness. So it's not that we're impersonalists, thinking everyone's the same. Some souls are more awakened than others, and therefore they're displaying more wonderful qualities to Krishna than others. But everyone has the potential to become wonderful if they follow Krishna's wonderful instructions. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
I have two questions, please. The first one is, you mentioned inanimate things not being able to be hurt, but you can hurt people who are attached, given the example of the microphone. I wanted to ask, what should we do, what our reaction should be if someone hurts people who we are attached to, especially if they are devotees?
Well, if someone blasphemes a devotee, you have a number of choices. You could try to defeat them by logical arguments. You can cut out their tongue and then take your own life. Or you can go away. Now, in Kali Yuga, generally speaking, cutting out people's tongues and then taking our life is not an option, because after a while there would be too many tongues on the street. People slip. So that's really not an option. Besides that, if we killed ourselves, there would be no one left to find out who's blasting the devotees, because there wouldn't be any devotees left. Now, if we have the power to rectify by our preaching or example or something, we can try to do that, or else try to become aloof. If you can't solve the situation, don't become part of the problem. If you can't solve the problem, don't become part of the problem. It's like husband and wife, when they're fighting, generally speaking, if someone tries to get in between the husband and wife when they're fighting, then the only thing that husband and wife will agree on is that you're the problem. And therefore, they may end their quarrel, but then they'll have a quarrel with you. So we have to use our intelligence. The best thing to do is chant Hare Krishna. That's within our power. And if we're blissful enough, others may become blissful too, and wake up, and that will end their unnecessary quarreling with each other. So try to perfect our chanting. And if we have some ability, we might try to resolve the problem, but make sure we don't become part of the problem. Anything else? There's the first.
The second question is, you mentioned about discriminating between good and bad, and I wanted to ask, some devotees equivalate discriminating with judging. What's the difference, and how to discriminate without judging? Because it is said that we are not supposed to judge others.
Why not? How can you not judge others? That's ridiculous.
I was told.
Some dog comes and he's going to bite you, and say, "Well, I don't want to judge you. You know, I know the teeth. You know, maybe you're just trying to smile at me, but it appears maybe you have a, you know, dogs have a strange smile on you. I know you're chomping on my hand, but maybe you're just trying to kiss me in your own strange way." Of course we have to judge. How can we not judge? Okay, so from high, Krishna came and said, "I'm the only one who judge." Where did he say that in Bhagavad Gita?
No, I was told by...
By who?
The devotees.
By other devotees, and who told them? Where did they get it from? Krishna says that one should see... How is that? One should see antara... Let's see. Shastra Chakshusha, 16, chapter 15. Those who can see, maybe it's chapter 13. It's the end of the 13th chapter. Shetra Shetragya Evam Antara Jnana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha Yevidir Yanti Te Puram. That though one can see the difference between the body and the owner of the body, and you can understand the process of liberation. One who can see with the eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the owner of the body, the owners of the body, and understand the process of liberation attained to the supreme perfection. So we're supposed to develop eyes of knowledge. As far as judging in terms of being envious of people, you're bad. People are bad. We should be able to see people that are bad. Because there is a relative world, we consider, from our point of view, the mode of goodness is better than the mode of ignorance and passion. So someone who's in ignorance is considered not as elevated as someone in passion. And someone in passion is considered not to be as elevated as one in goodness. But from the spiritual point of view, they're all spiritual souls. Therefore, we help the person who's in ignorance, we help the person in passion, we help the person in goodness, we try to help them as much as we can, appropriately. We don't judge them in the sense we condemn them. You're in ignorance, and therefore you're useless. I'm not going to help you. But we see that they're in ignorance. Therefore, we see the difference between a lion and a tiger and a Brahmin. But at the same time, we give the lion and tiger some prasadam, and we do some, you know, we chant Hare Krishna together with the Brahmin. So we discriminate, but we don't condemn in the sense that we give our mercy to, in some way or another, to all living entities. When Lord Chaitanya was lamenting, Haridasa Thakura told him, "Don't lament, my Lord, that even the non-living entities, the immovable living entities, they'll be saved by the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra." So we chant Hare Krishna, and even the birds and the trees are helped. So we don't judge, you know, you're a nonsense, you're in the form of a tree, you deserve it. You're probably one of my enemies in my past life. That's what you got, what you deserve. And we chant Hare Krishna to help them too. So the tree becomes helped. Yes.
I have one comment and one question. In Croatian language, suparna, suparnik means competitor. It's quite interesting. I mean, because here it means friend. Supervising friend, benefactor.
Suparna.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sitting bird on the tree. Yeah, okay. So it's
friendly bird.
Yeah.
Somebody's a friendly bird. That's where they got the word from.
My question is, I saw two rabbis actually on the internet, and they were both extremely intelligent. So how can one rabbi come up with such a thing, such explanation that everybody can dismiss it within seconds? How is that possible? I mean, I don't know.
A lot of people don't dismiss it. A lot of people have all kinds of things. I think the majority, 99.9% of the people have no idea what's going on, who God is, what his qualities are. So, and God is a nice person. Most people think God is an old man. It's in the Sistine Chapel. That's what Michelangelo drew. So they think God is incapable. Otherwise, why does a little child get born and he's crippled or blind? You know, doesn't God know? Isn't God all good? How could this be? Innocent child, why is he punished? He's innocent. He didn't do anything. He just took birth. So with their conception, they doubt. So they say, well, God was good, but he had one of the angels turn bad, and he's in big competition. So many things. I would do to Ryan, what's his question?
So we have two questions. First one is acting in displeasing manner also an offense, or these are two different things?
Acting in a displeasing manner? Hmm. Displeasing to who?
Towards somebody.
If you're displeasing the demons, you're doing well. Krishna was quite displeasing to the demons. Kamsa never thought, you know, Krishna's, you know, doing quite well. He killed all my friends. Doing quite well. Die. Good fight, Krishna.
It's good to offend demons then.
What's that?
Is it good to
It's good to follow Krishna in such a way as that what you're doing is displeasing to the demons. Yes.
Next one. Blank.
Just like Prahlad Maharaj, when he was asked, what's the best thing you learned in school? And he said, the best thing I've learned in school, my father, is that you're a fool. And then he explained the philosophy, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. It wasn't very pleasing to Hiranyakashipu. In fact, he tried to kill him, his son. But it was pleasing to Krishna, so Krishna came and saved Prahlad. Yes.
And the second one, in Canto 7, chapter 119, Yudhishthira wanted the enemies of the Supreme Lord to suffer. How is this a sign of compassion, and should we follow his example?
Vishnu wanted the enemies of the devotees to suffer.
No, Yudhishthira.
Who?
Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira wanted
wanted the enemies of the Lord to suffer.
Yeah.
Because that's where they'll learn how to become devotees of the Lord eventually. If you, as Ravana, he wanted to build a stairway to heaven so that all the bad people would go there and all the good people would fall down from heaven. So that's demoniac. So unless they suffer, they'll never learn their lesson. Therefore, suffering is meant to wake us up so we can learn. No one wants to suffer, so when we're suffering, we may question, why am I suffering? And then hopefully we'll come in contact with Krishna or his representatives, so that we can find out why we're suffering and change our activities. So suffering is meant to help the soul wake up. So that's, therefore it's good for the suffering person to help them wake up, so they can end their suffering. So if there are demons who are against Krishna, they're going to suffer, but that should help them wake up. Alright. Yes.
I don't understand this example with Yudhishthir related to what you said earlier about the fact that we should not condemn and think that, okay, you got what you deserve.
Well, we should understand people are getting what they deserve.
But we should not want it. Because Yudhishthir wanted his...
Well, what are wanting people to suffer may be different from Yudhishthir Maharaj's wanting people to suffer. He wants them to become Krishna conscious. We made us want them to suffer. We're not being as compassionate as he is.
Srila Prabhupada sometimes says that they are, these material things are spiritualized. And how do we understand them being spiritualized?
Well, they're already spiritual. Because everything is spiritual. We become spiritualized. The soul wakes up and can see everything in relation to Krishna. And of course, when the soul is in Krishna consciousness and he's associating with Krishna, then he becomes energized. And then whatever he touches, he utilizes, gets the same spiritual nature as Krishna. Brahmarpanam brahmahaivir brahmano brahmahutam brahmayavat tena gantavyam brahmakarma samayadina. Person who is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness is sure to reach the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and the things which are offered is the same spiritual nature. So when things are dovetailed in Krishna's service, then we regain our spiritual vision, and our spiritual vision means that Krishna is there. And when Krishna is there, everything becomes spiritualized by his presence. Well, we're in the spiritual world, which just happens to be in the prison part of it. Or in the toilet part of it, depending on how you want to look at it. All right. Khala, Granta Rai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.